You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
I want to say happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Woohoo! It's a great day, right, for dads? Thank you, dads, for all the work that you do, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to you today. You know, there's one thing that's common with every one of us, and that is that we all have a biological father. I mean, that's kind of a given, right? We have that in common. Every one of us has a father. That's kind of half the reason we're here today, because we have a dad. Now, you may have not known your dad, you may have never met him, but we all do have a biological father. You know, as I was thinking about that, though, that's pretty much where the similarity ends with fathers, because the truth is, all of us in this room today, every one of us has a different story to tell about our father, about our childhood. For some of us, we had a father who was a very loving father. I consider myself blessed to be in that group. I mean, I just do. It's becoming a rare thing nowadays with young people, it seems. And I consider myself very, very blessed to have been raised in a home with a father who loved me, who told me that he loved me, who wasn't afraid to do that, who hugged me, who supported me and encouraged me. And more than anything else, a father who was a godly man, who raised me in the ways of the truth of God's word, and who actually led me to Christ when I was a boy. I mean, I'm very blessed to be able to have that kind of a memory of my father. But I know that not everybody can say that about their childhood. I know because I've talked to you and I've heard your stories. For some people, they grew up in a home with a father who was very uncaring, very unloving, very distant, never said, I love you, never said, I'm proud of you. For some of you here today, that's the kind of home you grew up in. For others, you grew up in a home with a father who was abusive, who perhaps was an alcoholic and took out his rage on you or on your sister or your brother or your mom. And as horrible as it is to think about, those are the memories that you have of childhood and of your father. For others, you had a father who was just absent. Maybe your dad died when you were still very young and you never had a chance to even meet him or get to know him. Maybe for some of you, your father left when you were a child and divorced your mom and moved off. And you've had to live your whole life with the memory of that. And a lot of people go through their entire life carrying the weight of that, feeling that it's their fault. That if, you know, when I was a kid, if I had just been a better kid, my dad wouldn't have left. And so you see, this morning on Father's Day, we all have very, very different memories of childhood. For some, those memories carry tremendous pain. For others, those memories bring tremendous joy. But whatever memories you and I have of our childhood, there's one thing for sure. No father is perfect. My dad's not perfect. Your dad wasn't perfect. And guys, for those of us here today who are fathers, would you agree with me? We fall short, don't we? We're not perfect in any way. And I want to share with you today some verses from the Bible that are going to remind us of our father's love for us. This is going to be kind of different again today. I don't have, you know, a fancy three-point outline or anything like that. All I want to do today really is just to share with you verse after verse from the scripture to remind us today that we have a Father who loves us. Now, this message is not just for fathers, just because it's Father's Day. As a matter of fact, this message is specifically not just for fathers. This is for every one of you. Like I said, we all have a dad. May have never met him, he may be gone, but we all have a dad. And so we all carry a certain amount of baggage from childhood, good or bad. But as good as our father may have been in loving us, he was unable to give to us a perfect picture of what a father's love looks like. He just was. And we are too. My kids could write a list of ways that I fail as a father. Hopefully it's a really short list. Where are they? Yeah. Hopefully a really short list, like maybe on a gum wrapper or something, you know, as opposed to a legal sheet. I don't know. But, you know, we all, as fathers, we all fail. And as children, we've all had fathers who have failed us. And that can really do a number on us when it comes to relating to our Heavenly Father and accepting His perfect love for us. And so today, I want to just share some verses with you. And my goodness, there are so many. I haven't done this in a while. I haven't actually gone back through the Bible and just done a study on God's love. I mean, it's been a long time since I did that. And as I was doing that, preparing for this message, I was blown away. I was overwhelmed at the number of verses throughout the Bible that tell us again and again and again how much God loves us. Now, there's no way that you'll be able to turn to all of these, so I'm going to give you the day off, okay? You can just hold your Bible in your lap. You don't have to try to keep up with this today because it won't happen. I'm just going to move very quickly through some verses that remind us of God's love. And here's one thing, just one thing that I want you to walk away with today. I want you to walk away with a renewed sense and a renewed assurance that you are loved. Now, I know some of us here grew up in church, and we're going to sit here and hear this, and our first response is going to be, yeah, I know all that. I've heard all that. Can I just encourage you to ask God to give you fresh ears today and a fresh open heart to hear this message again? Yeah, we know God loves us, but when is the last time that really, really penetrated the very core of who we are and impacted us so much that it just brought us to our knees? You are loved today. I want to tell you that, church. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, you are loved. There is a Heavenly Father who loves you more than you can imagine. And you know, Christianity really is the only religion, and I hesitate to use that word because, in my opinion, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. That's all it is. But I use that word because it's the only way I know to put it in some kind of frame of reference for us. But Christianity is the only religion where God is pointed out as being love. All the other religions, the pagan religions, they have these gods that are angry and brooding, and you have this whole list of things you have to do in order to please that God. Well, the Bible says not only that God loves you, but it says, more incredibly, that God is love. He's the very source of love. He's the very definition, the very essence of love. It flows out from who He is. And we have a God who loves us more than we can imagine. I wonder how long it's been since we really thought about this. Let me just share some verses with you. You guys just try to hang with me today and follow along and just let these words from God's Word sink into your heart today. Psalm 36:5. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Does that ring a bell with anybody? We sing that here. Those exact words came straight out of this psalm. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 136, verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. And in fact, in that psalm, 26 times in that psalm, it uses the phrase, his love endures forever. Well, I think God's quit loving me. No, his love endures forever. I think God's mad at me. No, his love endures forever. Well, you see, my dad quit loving me. Doesn't matter. His love endures forever. 26 times. You think they're trying to tell us something? His love endures forever. You can't outrun it. You can't outlive it. You can't outlast it. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Isaiah 38:17. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. Isn't that cool? Isaiah 43, verse 4, God said, you are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Isaiah 63, verse 9, in all their distress, God too was distressed. Amazing. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Wow. Lamentations 3:22. Anybody read Lamentations this week? It's not one of those real hip books that everybody goes to a lot. But listen to this. Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Do you realize the God we serve is not some mamby-pamby little God? Do you realize he is a consuming fire? That without his love, you and I would be consumed in an instant because of his holiness and because of our lack of holiness. God's not just letting us hang around here because he's bored and doesn't have anything else to do. It's because of his love that we're here. Because of his great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Zephaniah 3:17. Anybody read Zephaniah this week? It's another one of those that gets tucked away and we almost never look at. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He, listen to this. He will take great delight in you. What? The God of the universe will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Romans 5:5. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. By the way, I just picked a few. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. God loves us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him. Why, church? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and have believed on the love of God. God is love. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You say, man, just that little sampling of verses is pretty incredible. And I guess we must be some pretty worthy people to have that kind of love. I mean, we must be pretty good to deserve that kind of love. Well, not exactly. Listen to what the Bible says in contrast in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. As for you, you and you and you and you and me, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Wow, those first three verses are kind of a downer, aren't they? I mean, that's pretty discouraging. But thankfully, there's a verse 4. And it says, but. In spite of all that stuff that's true about you and me, in spite of all of our past being objects of wrath at one time in God's eyes, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3 says much the same thing. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, hating and being hated. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. You see, here's the thing. As we grow up as children, perhaps some of us had fathers who made us think that if we were good enough kids, He would love us. And if we did all the right things, then we would earn His love. And we take that from childhood sometimes and we project it onto our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I tell you, churches have done a very bad job of promoting this lie over the years. If you do all these certain things, then you're going to earn God's love. If you jump through all these hoops, then God will love you. I want to tell you, church, that is not biblical. It's not biblical. You and I can do nothing to earn God's love. We can't work hard enough in this life. We can't do enough good in this life to earn God's love. His love is a free gift that was given to you and me before we ever even thought about God. All of our sins were paid for by Christ on the cross while we were still messing around in our sin, the Bible says. That's how much God loved us. Before we ever even thought of Him, we already had His love. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. I want to read something that somebody wrote. I don't have the person's name, unfortunately, who wrote this. I just saw this years ago, and I jotted it down and kind of tucked it away. Listen how one person expresses this. See if you fit anywhere in here. God delights in you. Okay, right there, half of us have already unplugged. We can't conceive that anybody would delight in us. I mean, our spouse, our kids, our friends. Why would anybody delight in me? I mean, I look in the mirror at myself and I go, wow, it's not much, you know? I mean, why would anybody delight in me, let alone a holy God? But this is what the scripture said. We read a moment ago, you are His delight. God delights in you. No matter how ugly you think you are God's delight. Regardless of how fat or thin you are God's delight. Even when you're not accepted by the other kids at school, you are God's delight. Even if your marriage seems such a struggle, you are God's delight. Even if you struggle with addictions, you are God's delight. Even if you are divorced and your life seems wrecked, you are God's delight. Even if you are so depressed, your life feels like a black hole, you are God's delight. Even if you threw a pity party and nobody showed up, you are God's delight. God doesn't abandon you because your business collapsed. You are God's delight. God doesn't leave you when you mess up. You are God's delight. Now, instead of wasting all that energy trying to prove to everybody that you're worth something, you can start with the fact that you already are worth something because you are God's delight. What an amazing perspective on life. You see, every single person who has ever been born, no matter what their socioeconomic level is, no matter what their race is, no matter their education level, none of that matters because in God's sight, every single one of them has worth. Why? Because they were created in the image of God. Somehow, and I won't understand this till I get to heaven and get to ask in person, but somehow you and I bear the stamp of God. We bear the very image of God. And when He looks at us, He delights in us. Does our sin break His heart? Yes, it breaks His heart. But do I stop loving my kids when they do wrong? Not for a second. I love them, whether they're doing right or wrong. I love my kids. And a million times more than that, it's true with our Heavenly Father and with you. God delights in you. He loves you. And God didn't just say that He loved us. He proved it. He showed His love for us in the greatest expression of love that has ever been made. Church, dare I even quote this verse to us? Does it mean anything to any of us anymore? John 3:16. Lord, help us to catch a fresh glimpse of this verse. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we hear that anymore? That's the greatest verse in the Bible. If all of the Bible were lost and we only had that one verse, it would tell us what we need to know to come to God. If you slow down John 3:16 enough, and you go through it one piece at a time and think about what those words say, maybe you'll come out with something like this. Listen, God, that's the greatest lover, so loved, that's the greatest degree, the world, that's the greatest number, that He gave, that's the greatest act, His one and only Son, that's the greatest gift. That whoever, that's the greatest invitation, believes, that's the greatest simplicity. In Him, that's the greatest person. Shall not perish, that's the greatest deliverance. But, that's the greatest difference. Have, that's the greatest certainty. Everlasting life, that's the greatest possession. We are loved. We are loved by God. 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Romans 5, verses 6 and 8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ephesians 5, 2, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. 1 John 4, 19 says, we love because he first loved us. Are you starting to get the picture? You are loved. You are loved by God. And he expressed his love to you in the most amazing way possible. You say, well, I'm afraid maybe I've messed up and I've lost that love. Nothing can take that love away. Nothing can remove that love. Listen to what Romans 8, 35 says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, listen, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take that away. No hardship, no mistake, nothing in all of the world can separate you from God's love. God's love cannot be measured in any extent. Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, now get this, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, not to know about it, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Where do you go from there? You can't get around God's love. It's too wide. You can't get over it. It's too high. You can't get under it. It's too deep, and you can't outrun it. It's too long. He loves you. One songwriter said this, and I finish with this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Listen to this last verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Friends, I don't know if that does anything for you, just this very simple one-point message this morning. You are loved. You are loved. On this Father's Day, I want you to know that no matter what your Father treated you like when you were little, great or awful, I want you to know on this Father's Day, you have a Father who loves you eternally. He loves you. You are loved with an everlasting love. Psalm 103:17 says this, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Hey, you know, I know in a room like this, a gathering like this, there are people who have identified with these scriptures today in 100 different places. Maybe some of you here today are just filled with joy as you think of your dad and the way that even through his human frailties expressed to you so beautifully the love of God. That today for you, you sit here rejoicing and saying, God, thank you for a father who showed me you. Maybe you're at the other end of that spectrum today. Maybe you're here and your father, I mean, just let you down in unspeakable ways. And maybe to this very day, you've been living with anger and bitterness or just gut-wrenching hurt and pain. Maybe for you, this message today is reaching out to say, there is one who loves you infinitely. I pray that today as we leave here, we'll leave, whatever condition we're in, we'll leave with the fresh awareness that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that we can call you Father. For those of us who have put our faith in you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he paid for us, the Bible says that we now can enter in and we can come into your presence because of that, and we can call you Father. And I wonder, Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know you as their Father. They've never come to that place in their life where they have done what John 3:16 says we need to do, and that is to believe by faith. If there's someone here today who has never done that, they've never accepted you into their life by faith, that right now as they sit here in this place, they would simply open their heart to you and invite you to come in. Friend, if that's you today, if you're here and maybe you've gone to church for years, but going to church won't save you, folks. Maybe you've tried to be a good person, but being a good person won't make you right with God. Maybe you've been a very generous person, giving your money to charities and all kinds of causes, but none of that can take your sins away and make you right with God. Perhaps you're here and in this moment, God is tugging at your heart. And you can't even put it into words, but you know that you're separated from him. You've never made that right. Right now you can do that, right as you sit here. There's no special prayer you have to pray. The Bible just says believe on him and he will come in. He will save you. Maybe you want to take just a moment and in the quietness of your heart, just cry out to him and say, God, I need you. I'm lost. I believe that your son died for me and rose again. And I don't understand it all, but I accept it by faith and I ask you to come in and save me. And he will do that right now. And your life can be new. Father, may no one leave this place today separated from you. You have extended the greatest offer, the greatest gift that has ever been given through your Son. I pray that all of us would leave this place today knowing, fully assured, that we're saved and that we are loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.